All right, so we are holding on Kofkofkast on the bays, four lines from the bottom. All right, we mentioned in the Mishnah about the matter of Aver min Achai versus Basar min Achai and Aver min Anavela versus Basar min Anavela, and we talked about in particular what the difference is. We talked about basically what the difference is between Aver min Achai and Aver from Nevela, namely that if Basar comes off it afterwards, if it's from a Nevela, it's Tomei either way. If it's from a Chai, it's not Tomei. Okay. We learn in a braisa. A person cuts off a kezayis of meat, off an Aver min Achai. Rashi actually says over here, he mentions that the actual tesefta that the Gemara is quoting over here, the actual braisa that's quoting, doesn't say kezayis, so Rashi says actually it would rather be a kebetza. Rashi is following the opinion over here, which he has to be. Well, because you have in different places, Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss the question. We know that to be metame other food, you need a kebetza. Do you need a kebetza in order for it to contract, for it itself to contract Tumas Oslin? Here we're dealing with Tumas Oslin, because then that's Tumas Nevela. So the question would be, therefore, is it kezayis enough, or do you need dafka kebetza? Anyway, so person cuts off a kezayis, or according to Rashi, a kebetza, from Aver min Achai. So it depends. If he cut it off and then had in mind that he's going to give it to a goy, bearing in mind, as we said before, it is actually also to a goy because it's part of Aver min Achai, but as we said before, it's easier, as the Tosfos Yom Tov said, it's easier to find a goy who's willing to eat the thing than a yid for whom it's also osur. And
can a Jew get something?
Okay, we're not saying he's allowed to. It would be a matter of looking at it. But if he has that in mind, then if he cut it off and only then he has in mind that he's going to give it as food to a guy, then tahor. Then it doesn't have, it's not tummy because it did it. How would it be tummy at this point? It went basar apodesh from Aver min Achai is tahor. It itself doesn't have tuma, and after he thought about it, after he had in mind to give it as food to a guy, it didn't touch anything tummy. So obviously, if later on it touches something tummy, then it becomes tummy. But we're talking about if nothing else that would make it tummy touches. On the other hand, but if he thought about it, intending to feed it to a guy, and then afterwards he cut it off the limb, tummy, then it will be tummy. The reason is because then it will receive tuma from the limb as a whole beforehand. It had as a whole Aver, it had Tuma Chamura, because it is able to be Matame, like Aver min Ames in that sense. And therefore, so now when you cut off a piece from it afterwards, then it still retains, fine. Actually, what it is Rashi explains like this. In principle, there are two possible Tumas that could apply to this meat. You have Tuma Chamura, a stronger Tuma, namely Tumas Nevela, which is able to be Matame people and Kalim and whatever. And then you have Tuma Kala, which is Tumas, with Tumas Oichlin, where it can only be metame other food. In this case, actually, what it really is it had the Tuma Chamura as part of the limb, and potentially it had the, later on, it could eventually have the Tuma Kala, but right now there's no room for the Tuma Kala to fall on it yet, because the Tuma Chamura is still there. Tuma Chamura means basically it's an Avatuma. It's an Avatuma that's able to be metame people and Kalim and whatever. Yeah. As opposed to Tuma Kala would be a Rishon or Sheni or whatever, Tumas Oichlin. Yeah. So what happens over here is then this limb as a whole had tuma chamura. It was an avatuma. It will be matami pib
from
a nevela because it's Aver min Achai. But for that purpose, it has the same din as Aver from a nevela. Yeah. But now what happens is so now this piece of meat that's attached to it, therefore, has this tuma chamura. It is an avatuma. Potentially, it could eventually be thought of as food and have tumas oichlin. There's no room for tumas oichlin yet because right now it has tumas nevela. But eventually, when you cut it off the limb, so now the Tuma Chamura goes away because it was an Aver min Achai. Had it been an Aver from a Nevela, it would still have that Tumas Nevela. Being that it's an Aver min Achai, then once you cut off a piece of flesh from it, there's no boss of the Gidim Bat Tumas. Therefore, the piece of meat does not have Tumas Nevela anymore.
So
therefore,
Tumas Nevela. The
whole limb, we're saying. We're talking about, you started with a complete Aver min Achai that had boss of the Gidim Bat Tumas, and then you cut off a Kezayis or a Kebetza of flesh off it. So if he had in mind that he's going to use it as food, and later on he cut it off, then it's tummy because now it has the original tumah that it had before, and went away. So therefore, now it's able to have the Tumas Oichlin, because effectively what it is it was Tomei before, and therefore even now it retains a certain degree of Tumah. Not Tumas Nevela anymore, but it still retains a degree of Tumah.
The only way to cash Tumas Oichlin is to drop Tumas Nevela.
In this case, yes. But on the other hand, if he only first cut it off, and only then did he have in mind that it's going to be food, then by the time it became food, it's not touching any source of Tumah anymore.
It would be Tara.
Therefore, it would be Tara. That's what we're saying.
If he had in mind
that it's going to be food, then as he's cutting it off the Aver, it becomes Tumah from touching Aver Menachai. It becomes Tumah from having touched Nevela. Therefore, it's Tumah. It's a Rishon LaTumah. As opposed to, if you didn't have in mind beforehand that you're going to be using it as food, then when you're cutting it off, nothing happens, because it doesn't have Tumas Oichlin yet. And later on, by the time you consider that you're going to use it as food, there's nothing, it's not touching anything Tumah anymore.
So the machshavah that you have at the time that you cut it makes the difference
between whether it's Tumah or whether it's not. Yeah.
Because if
you didn't have in mind when you're cutting it off that it's going to be food, it's not able to contract Tumah from the Aver as a whole that it's touching while you're cutting it off, because it's not food.
In a way, the minute you think about it as food, it's
that's the point.
It's potentially food.
Yeah, that's the point. But therefore, if you only cut it off and then you had in mind it's going to be food, then no. Okay, so Gemara says, Rav Asi le ol bei medrash. One time Rav Asi had not come to the Beis Medrash one day. Ashkechel, but he still wanted to know what they had learned over there. Ashkechel Rav Zera. Later on, he met Rav Zera. Omalei my omer bei medrash. So he asked him, what were they learning in the Beis Medrash? Omalei, so Rav Zera says, my kashalok. The fact that you're asking indicates that you have some kind of question. What exactly is the question? Omalei, so he says like this. The Katani, apparently Rav Asi knew that they're going to be discussing this point. And maybe he knew this is what they're, where they're up to in the Gemara, whatever it is, anyway. Amalei Katani, we said in this Brice, the Chishev Achakas Chosfei Tomei, we're saying that if you had in mind that it's going to be food, and then you cut it off, then we're saying it's Tomei, because as you're cutting it off, it's touching the larger piece of Aver, which is the larger Aver, which is Tomei.
So the minute you think about it as food,
at that point, again, as part of the entire Aver, it has Tumah Chamura, because it's still part of Aver Menachah. As you're cutting it off, it's going to be touching that complete the remainder of the complete Aver. Therefore, it's going to become Tumah from touching it. The Aver is going to be an Abba Tumah, and this piece is going to be Rishon LaTumah. The problem with that, Rav Asi says, is my problem with that is Tumah space astarimi. That is a Tumah of a hidden place. We learned before in the fourth parak, we talked about the idea that when you have a Tumah thing that you're cutting off a piece from, so there comes a problem where you have a Tomei piece and a Tara piece. We have the case, for example, of a limb of an animal, of a limb of an unborn baby sticking out of the womb, for example. So you have the point where they're joined together, the point where the osur part and the mutar part join together. That part is hidden. It's concealed within the thickness of the limb, the actual point of contact. So in this case over here also, the actual point of contact between the bosser and the rest of the aver is hidden because it's what do you mean it's hidden? There's a connection over there. Therefore, the point where they're connected is hidden. It's within the thickness of the thing.
Because this connection is hidden at that time?
Yeah, because you haven't fully disconnected it yet. And when you fully disconnect it, then it's not touching anymore. But Tumas Beis Astarim Lo Metame. We have a general rule that Tumas Beis Astarim is not Metame. We've learned it before. In fact, actually, one of the sources for it is actually this week's parasha, and it's actually a pasuk in this week's parasha about the Zog, which is the Yodav Lashata Famoyim. So we learn from that that anything that any part of the body a person is going to become Tomei or can transmit Tumah with or whatever has to be something exposed like his hands, so not based on Stardom, not for example. So for example, we learned before, for example, let's say a person takes a piece of Nevela and sticks it down somebody else's throat, then the other person won't become Tomei because he's not touching it with
the glove.
He's touching it with a glove. I don't know. The glove might be bottled to his body. I don't know. That's a different question. But anyway, the point is that it's not based on starting. Anyway, so that's the question. So how is this piece becoming Tomei from the larger piece of Avimanachai, if the point where they're connecting is concealed within the thickness of it? Omalei, so Rav Zera says, Afledidi Kashali, I have the same question. Ushilpil of Abba Memel, so I asked Rav Abba Memel in the yeshiva, the Omalei, and he says to me, oh, no problem, Homani Rameir. You can say, who is this bride alike? This bride that follows Rameir's opinion. Dama Tumas Besa Stardom Metame, where Rameir says that Tumas Besa Stardom is Metame. Now, where do we see that Rameir holds such a concept? We have, Rashi says, we have the case, again, in the fourth parak, We have the case where an unborn baby stuck out its foreleg or whatever. Then you shechted the mother. Then you cut off the part that stuck out of the foreleg. Now remember, the part of the foreleg that stuck out is also to eat. It's basar basar d'kshreta. So what does the rest of the meat of the unborn baby, does it have tumma? So the mayor said yes, it has the din of maga nevela, because the part that stuck out is considered nevela, and the rest of the part that stuck out is considered nevela. The mayor considers it nevela, and it connects directly to the rest of it. So therefore, so we see that he holds the tumma space. Let's start him. Okay, Tosfos had a long discussion earlier in that fourth paragraph, discussing all the pros and cons of what exactly the mayor would hold. But the bottom line is it's a bit of a long discussion over here. What exactly the mayor does hold? What the other Tanoim hold of it? The Gemara itself has a whole discussion about what the mayor exactly holds. Okay, anyway, Amale, so Rav Asi says, I don't accept that as an answer. Didn't Rav Abba bar Memo give this answer to me many times before when this issue came up? And I, Rav Asi, told him that's not a valid answer. Shani leila Rav Meir ben Tumah de Boya Hechsher or ben Tumah de Loy Boya Hechsher. Rav Meir, I would say that Rav Meir makes a distinction between a Tumah where you also need Hechsher lekabel Tumah versus one where you don't. Now, what happened in the case in the fourth paragraph? The unborn baby became muchsher when you shechted the mother. So therefore, automatically, fine, you have it touching the bela, so therefore it's able to become tummy. But over here, what are we saying in our Mishnah? We said that we have this case of an animal with a dangling limb, or dangling flesh or whatever, and we said that the flesh requires hechsher tumah. It requires hechsher, it requires to be wet with one of the shiva mashkin. So it's a different case. So it didn't become, so it didn't have hechsher before it was cut off from the Eivim and Achai. Why is it becoming tummy as opposed to the case of Rav Meir in the fourth parak, where once the mother is shechted, you have blood comes out, and that's machsher the mother, and Rav Meir holds it machsher the baby as well. So that's a different case. Omar. Alma Rabba, so Rabba says, so why do you find that to be such a difficulty? Or my kusha, Dilma b'shavuksha. Okay, you could say very simply that our case, the case of our Braita is talking about where you cut off the piece after it became wet. So you could say it became wet while it was attached, and now it's detached, and therefore, again, if Rameyer holds that Tumah space that started is considered a valid Tumah, it's already Mokshul Kabal Tumah, so no, it's exactly the same as the baby in the fourth parak, so no problem. So why do you, Rav Asi, find that so difficult? You could say the Braisa is also talking about where it's Mokshul Kabal Tumah. Okay, the Braisa didn't spell that out because the Braisa considered it fairly obvious. We know food can't be Mokabal Tumah unless it's a Mokshur. So therefore, so the Braisa didn't just spell out that detail. Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanan l'Rava. However, Rabba bar Rav Chanan says to Rava, Lomali Hechsher. Why, you're telling me that the piece of meat that came off this Eivim and Achai requires Hechsher l'kabel Tumah. But why should it require Hechsher l'kabel? And that was, after all, Rav Asi's understanding as well. Because Rav Asi is saying that maybe Rav Meir would make a distinction between whether it requires Hechsher l'kabel Tumah or not. But why I question the premise, says Rav Bar Afanan, that it should even need Hechsher Tumah. Hare metame Tumah chamura agav aviv. After all, when that piece of meat is still attached to the aver, it's part of an avatoma. Now, we learned earlier in our parak that Tanur Dvei Rabbi Shmuel said, since we learn the whole concept of Hechsher l'kabel Tumah, we learn from the fact that the Pasuk mentions in connection with seeds, that if a nevela falls on seeds that never became wet, or any other food that never became wet, then they don't become tummy. But if they ever became wet, then they're Mokshul l'kabel Tumah. Now they do become tummy when the sheretz falls on them. And we learn from that, Tanur Dvei Rabbi Shmuel said, when do we say that something requires Hechsher? Only if like food, it can never have Tumah Chamura. Food, as we're going to discuss in the continuation of our Gemara over here, can never be an Ava Tumah. Right. Food can only be a Risha and Cheney, whatever. Yeah, right. It can never be an Ava Tumah. And therefore, On the other hand, the implication is what Tanadre Rabbi Shmuel is saying.
That's unaccepted by everybody.
Everybody accepts, right, that food, right. Well, we're going to see, actually, we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara some potential possibilities to the contrary. So we'll see, one second. But the point is, on the face of it, at least, food can never be an avat tumah, because if you consider the various obvious tumahs out there, food is, none of them are food.
The food that's in the mouth is nice.
Doesn't matter. No, the meth himself is an aviyava satroma, fine, but the food in his mouth would be a rishon satroma. Would be a rishon satroma. Yeah. The only thing you have the various obvious atroma, sheres, shechlazera, zov, and the other ones like it, a mess, a matzora, et cetera, food is not, none of those are food.
Some of them can eat.
Yeah, that's fine. But if you had in mind to eat it, then that's so much different. But that's different, yeah. Anyway, the point is that nevela also you could conceivably eat. But again, right now it has so much nevela. Right now it has.
If you had in mind nevela to eat it, then it stops it.
No. It has so much nevela. We've learned that earlier in our perek. But yeah. Anyway, the point is that things that are just food, they don't have that. Things that are just zroyim again don't have tumah chamura. Therefore, by definition, seeds can never have tumah chamura. Therefore, they need hechsher. On the other hand, if you have something that could, if you have something that in and of itself has a tumah chamura, then it doesn't require hechsher. So for example, this case of nevela. Rashi says that a better example would be nivlas oif tahar. We know that a nivlas oif tahar is able to be metame when a person swallows it. So it's considered that it has a potential tumah chamura because all a person has to do is swallow it and then it becomes tame. And therefore the nevela does not require hechsher in order to become tame from something else. Remember, it's only metame when a person swallows it. Other than that, it's not metame at all. So that's the thing. You do need machshava. You do have to have in mind that you're going to be eating it. But once you have that machshava in mind, it doesn't need hechsher tuma. If a sheretz or any other source of tuma touches this nivlas oif tahar, it will be tummy. Once you had in mind that someone is going to eat it. So we see that something that is going to have tuma chamura doesn't require hechsher. So in our case, this Eva Menachai, well, it's one of the cases, but the point is our case would be another example. And Eva Menachai has tuma chamura because it's like nevela in that sense. It's metame, a person who touches it or carries it. The flesh that's part of it is part of the avat tuma as well. Therefore, that flesh has the potential to have tuma chamura. In fact, it actually has tumah chamura because the nevela is metame right now. Therefore, why should you have to have? So why is Rav Asi assuming and why is Rava saying that when you cut it off from there, you need to have hechsher before it can become tame? And therefore, Rava is saying the braisa must be talking about that it became wet before you cut it off. Why would it need a hechsher anyway? It's part of something that's an avat tumah.
If you take it from this, then you.
Well, that's the year because we follow what Tanadvei Rabbi Shmuel says. The answer is, Amalei, Rava answers him, Kishashimish, because you have to consider when it was part of the Tumah Chamura, Maisa Eit Shimish. Effectively, it's acting like a piece of wood. Namely, in other words, obviously it's flesh. Obviously it is edible. But we have to think, what makes it an Eva Minachai? We said, Bosa V'Gidim V'Atzomis. Now, the Gidim and the Atzomis are not edible. So therefore, the Bosa is kind of combining with them. We're not talking about
the edible.
Well, generally they're not. But the point is that that flesh that's part of that Eva Menachai, yes, it is physically edible, but in terms of actual halacha, it's as if you just had a block of wood over here, which is where the entire block as a whole is metame, because you need basar and gidim and achsamis all together. So the fact that the basar is edible is neither here nor there. As far as we're concerned, it might as well be like the achsamis and be inedible. So now when you have in mind that it's going to be used as food and you cut it off from the aver, now it's a case called ponim chadoshes bo lakan. You have it like a new space, like a new entity has come into existence. Now it's food where before it wasn't. Therefore, Rava says that's the answer. That is why it needs hechsher lekabel tumah. Yes, it was part of something that has tumah chamura, but now, when it's cut off from that, it's considered as if it's a new thing that came into existence. Before, it wasn't considered food, and now it is considered food.
Even though it has to have all three things.
So it has to be, it has to have both of the Gidim Atzomis. But the point is, in other words, that therefore, this Boso, now, when it's being cut off, only now is it able to get the status of food, if you had in mind that somebody's going to eat it. Before that, it's not considered food, even though it is physically edible. Because it was part of something which just the entire block is tummy, as if it was a block of wood.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't push away the example of Nivlas Oif Torah.
No, but that's the point. No, Nivlas Oif Torah is a little bit different, because when is it metame? When you swallow it. So therefore,
it's not the same.
No, so that's the point. It's not exactly the same. So therefore, the Nivlas Oif Torah, therefore, does not require Hechsher because it's capable of having Tumah Chamura. Over here, it is capable of having Tumah Chamura, but at the time when it has Tumah Chamura, it's not considered food. As opposed to the Nivlas Oif Torah, when is it Matame? When you're swallowing it, meaning that you're making food out of it.
Then it's capable of having...
Then that's the only time when it's Matame. That's when it has Tumah Chamura, when you swallow it. As opposed to over here, the Tumah of Nevela is involved with touching it or carrying it. And at that time, there's no reason to consider this meat, the flesh on it, to be food, because you're not meaning to eat it. Okay. So that explains it. That explains why Rav Asi would say, and why Rava is saying, that this piece of meat requires Hechsher Tumah. So now the Gemara is going to use this principle of Rava's to explain
the difference. Case.
It's a different entity, basically.
Entity,
right. It's a different – so that Nivlas Oif Torah is a food – is considered a food the whole time, basically.
Right.
It is considered a food the whole time, provided that you have machshava to eat it.
Right.
So therefore, it doesn't require hechsher. No. This meat from – this flesh from the Eivim and Achai is not considered food unless you have in mind to eat it and you actually cut it off and remove it from being part of the Eivim and Achai. So now the Gemara is going to use this principle of Rava's, Kishishimish, Maisa Eitz Shibish, the Gemara is going to use this principle to explain several other dinim. Number one, Amar Abaya Hare Omru. Now we know that the din is follows, appropriate for Pesach coming up soon. Kupa Sur Shiyichda L'Yeshiva, a block of sourdough that you set it aside to use as a seat. So normally you would use it as sourdough to ferment other doughs, but in this case you left it to become hard. The Rambam says maybe even you plastered over it, whatever the point is, and you designated it. You're going to use it from now on as a chick. The din is botla tumasa. The tumah of it. Botla. So now it's bottle or bitla, whatever. In the sense, it's not considered chametz. You're allowed to keep it around your house on chametz. You're allowed to keep it around your house on Pesach now. If it's a huge block of sir, doesn't matter, because now you're not using it as sir anymore. Now you're using it as chametz.
You
left the block of sir to become hard. Now in principle,
it's not chametz yet.
No, right? Sir is sourdough. It's sourdough.
It's
sourdough. It's more fermented. No, it is. You're thinking of seor. You're thinking of seor, which is seor is a stage on the way to full chametz. And we had a machlokas or mayor, and we wonder what exactly that is. No, here we're talking about seor. Shivat yamim seor lo yimasi v'vachechem. The pasuk says seor means sourdough. It means a batch of dough that you left to ferment, to rise or whatever, until it's sour enough that now you can use it as a starter for other batches of dough.
Okay.
But in this case, you took a block of it, and you designated it to be used as a chair instead. So now we're saying butla, so now it's butle, and the dinim of chametz don't apply to it anymore. So Abaya says, apparently, tum osa lavda araisa. Apparently, this set was saying that it's now considered a seat, and therefore it's able to become tame from a zav or whatever sitting on it. Apparently, that's not daraisa. The isakadai dach daraisa, because if you were going to say that it could be tame on a daraisa level, so then Abaya says, wouldn't you have a case where food is able to have Tumah Chamura? Because a seat of a Zav is a Tumah Chamura. If another person, a Torah person, sits...
Not food anymore once you sort of...
Well, that's going to be Rava's answer. But Abaya didn't know that principle of Rava's yet. So he's saying, we must say, says Abaya, on a Daraisa level, it would still be considered food. Therefore, it's not metame as a chair, because we have a general rule. For something to be metame, for something to be able to become tome as a chair from a zav, it has to be as a famous expression, that it won't be that people tell him, I'm moed benasim alachteinu, get up, we need to do our work with this object. That's the way we've learned a number of times before. So Abaya is saying, apparently, daraisa is still considered food. Therefore, it would still be a moed benasim alachteinu. If a zav were to sit on it, people would tell him, get up, we need to use this as sourdough.
Right.
Only midrabbanan are we considering it a chair, and therefore on a daraisa level it doesn't have Tumah Chamura. But now comes Rava and says you don't need that. The answer is kishimish might say it's shimish. The answer is no. We can use Rava's rule now and say because now when it's functioning as a chair of a zav, it's functioning as if it was a block of wood. So therefore you could say it doesn't violate the rule that food can never have Tumah Chamura, because now that it's having Tumah Chamura, it's not food.
So once again, for that reasoning, if you, after you used it as a chair, and you're thinking again about using it as an oichel, can it come back to the...
Probably, but at that point, then it wouldn't have so much midrash anymore.
Right.
So in other words, yes, one or the other, Rabbah is saying. Either it has too much midrash, or in which case it's not considered food, or it's considered food. You can't have both. So it could be tomei as a chair of a zav on a daraisa level, is Rabbah's point.
And if you sit on it and then you take from it and you sit, what is it?
Food, I guess. I don't know. But then it wouldn't. Then it would be amoyd ben asim alachem. Then if the zav sat on it, we would tell him, get up. We want to use it for food. Okay, Tosfos asked the question, actually. According to Rava's explanation, fine, it's very clear that it's not considered food anymore once you designated it for a chair, especially after Rambam says you plastered it, whatever. Okay. The question is, Tosfos says, according to Abaya's premise, that maybe it's not Tomei Daraisa, meaning it was Abaya saying it's still considered food on a Daraisa level, therefore it's not, doesn't have Tumah Hamura, then how are you allowed to keep it in your house on Pesach?
Exactly.
So Tosfos leaves the question open. So a number of Rishonim and Achronim talk about different possibilities. One of them, I think, that Ramban and some other Rishonim say, very simple. We know on a Daraisa level, you don't really need to burn your chametz or destroy it or whatever. All you need to do on a Daraisa level is just be mevatel it. So the Chachamim said, So the Chachamim didn't want you to do only that, because as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Shemi Yimta Gulski Yofa, you might find a nice loaf of bread in your house on Pesach and forget that it's Pesach and eat it. And then the bitter won't have been effective, therefore. So therefore, the Chachamim made you actually clean your house and burn your chametz, et cetera.
But the whole chametz technically...
The whole concept of the chametz is d'rabbanan, right. So therefore, that can be used to answer Tosfos' question. Abaya would say, sure, on a d'oraisa level, it's still considered food, but so on a d'oraisa level, you can be mevatel it. Rabbi Yaakov Emden takes a slightly different view. He says, the fact is, you have a din, for example, if you have chametz that was partially charred, burnt before Pesach, then you're allowed to keep it around, because even though it's in principle, maybe it's still edible, but you did do an action to mevatel it. Yeah, you did an action to mevatel it before Pesach. Here, similarly, you did an action, you plastered it or whatever. Okay, fine. So anyway, the point is that Rava says, that Rava's principle of kashimish, maisa eit shimish, answers this question also. Yes, when you're using it as a chair, it is tomei on a daraisa level. Therefore, at that point, it's not food anymore. Therefore, it doesn't violate the rule that food can never have tomei chamura. So it can be tomei on a daraisa level. Okay. Number two, Amar Abaya, Hare Amru. Now, here's another din Abaya says. We have a din that says, we learned it earlier near the beginning of the Masechta, Tikroi v'sabaris kachavim shal oichlin mitamin ba'oichol. The food that is offered as an offering to Avodah Zarah is... It means just anything offered to an Avodah Zarah, specifically Shal Oichlin, that the Tekrovis consisted of food. Mitamin ba'oihel. Such food is mitamei a person who's under the same oihel as it, as if it was a mess. The Gemara learns it over there from a pasuk, Vayochel Zibchei Mesim, in Tillim. It's talking about when the Jewish people worship Kor and Midbar, that Zibchei Mesim means sacrifices to the dead. But we learn from that, says the Gemara, that Tekrovis Avodah Zarah has the gene of a mess. Just like a mess is metameh ba'oihel, so is tikkurei v'sabbat azara. The halacha is not like that, by the way. The halacha is actually that tikkurei v'sabbat azara has a lesser degree of trauma. It has a degree of trauma somewhere between a sheret and a nida. It's actually it's still trauma hamura. It's still able to be. It's still metameh. It's still an ava trauma midaraisa. Not midaraisa, midrabana. It's still an ava trauma midrabana. It is metameh a person who touches it, or carries it. It's only if he touches it. But anyway, the point is, it was actually in today's Shloshah Prakim of Rambam, but anyway, the point is that it does, even though you have what the Gemara is mentioning over here, that this concept that's Matam and Ba'oyo, not everybody agrees to that, and the Halacha is not like that. The Halacha is it only has, to a certain extent, the Tumah of a Sheret, and to a certain extent, the Tumah of a Nidah. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, the point is, So according to the opinion that it's metameh ba'oil, says Abaya also tumah salav daraisa. Again, you must say that the tumah of it is not something on a daraisa level, even though we have a pasuk vayochel zivchei meisim. No, Avodah Zarah itself, obviously, we don't have to krovis Avodah Zarah, that should be metameh. It's also ba'anam daraisa, no question about that. The question is whether it's metameh. Now, you have psukim that imply that Avodah Zarah and to krovis Avodah Zarah and whatever are metameh. You have various psukim. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Torah with Hatromas brings one of them, that you have a pasuk where Yaakov tells his family, get rid of all of the idols among you, be taru and make yourselves tahar, implying that's metame them. The Gemara in there.
Tumas chamura.
To be metame a person by definition is tumas chamura. There's no midaraisa. At least there's no such thing as a vlada tuma being metame a person. Mm-hmm. So tuma chamura implies that the fact that it's metame a person implies that it's tuma chamura. But anyway, so you have that pasuk. You have other pasuk. You have the pasuk vayirchel zivchem chemesim. Whatever. You have various pasukim. Abaya is saying that apparently those pasukim are just an asmachta. This concept that it should be metame is obviously not daraisa. Because if you were going to say that it is something daraisa, well then, then again, you would be violating Rabbi Shmuel's case, because you would have a case, Rabbi Shmuel's din, because you would have a case where food is able to be metame a person on a daraisa level. So therefore, we must say it's only derabanan, and Rabbi Shmuel was only talking on a daraisa level.
And aside from
Nivlasef Tahar, you don't. Again, Nivlasef Tahar is a separate case. That's not really, that has Tumah Chamura, we're saying, that's the point, though. What Rabbi Shmuel is saying, any food that does not have Tumah Chamura requires Hechsher. Nivlasef Tahar is an exception. There is an exception to that. So that it has Tumah Chamura, therefore it doesn't require Hechsher. But in general, seeds don't have Tumah Chamura. Abaya is saying, now imagine, for example, a person were to offer seeds to a Getcha. We're saying that they're metame ba'oil. If you're going to say that tumah is daraisa, then you would have a case of seeds having tumah chamura. But obviously, their tumah must be only derabanan. And again, the answer is using Rava's principle, kshishimish ma'isa eitz shimish. We can answer with the same answer that in this case it's functioning as wood rather than as food, because again, it's also ba'hanah, so you're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, even though physically it is edible, as far as halacha is concerned, it's considered like a block of wood.
Halachic food status change.
Halacha, right.
Not physically, but
right. Exactly. So therefore, at the point where it became to Krebus of Adazara, it's now as if it became no longer food, and it's as if now it became a block of wood, and as a block of wood. Of course, not edible, so therefore it can have some of okay. And therefore, the Rava says, conceivably, that could even be Daraisa.
Is that the halacha?
No, the halacha, again, is not the time of oil at all, but at least, yeah. Okay. Another example, Amalei popular Rava, Hodatanya. How about this that we learn in a Braiser? It's actually a Mishnah, so it's Nan. We learned this yesterday. Chaylev Nevela B'Kfar.
Amar Abaye?
You're right, I skipped one. Okay. Amar Abaye, you're right. Harei Omru, here's another din, let's look at. Chibure Oichlin Kekelim Domu. If you have food attached to a Keli, then it's considered like a Keli. The relevance of this is, another din as far as the Halachas of Chomet, the Mishnah in Sochem mentions, suppose you have a trough that you use for kneading, and it has cracks in it, and now there's dough in those cracks, which helps seal up the cracks and hold the keli together. So the Mishnah says over there, if you plan to leave the dough over there, then it's considered like part of the kneading trough. So therefore, you're allowed to keep it around on Pesach. If you're not over of keeping chametz around, because it's not considered, not a piece of wood. We're talking about you have a wooden trough.
Right.
Like a wooden tray, whatever, that you're using for kneading dough.
Right.
It developed cracks, and now there's dough that got into the cracks and is holding them closed and holding the keli together. Mm-hmm. So if you plan to leave the dough over there, then it's considered that it's bottled to the keli. Therefore, you don't have to get rid of that keli or sell it to a goy or what have you before Pesach.
Do you have to bottle the dough?
No, that's the point. The fact that you plan to leave it there because it's helping to hold the keli together is considered that you're mevatele. So therefore, what that would mean is you have a kula in it as far as hilchos pesach because you can keep it around. That's true, and that's the point. That's what Abaye is getting at. Suppose now a sheretz were to touch one of those bits of dough that's in the cracks. If we say that's not considered part, that's not considered dough anymore. If we say it's considered part of the case, then a part of the tray, then the tray is now going to be a rishon l'truma. So therefore, Abaya says, again, tum osan lav daraisa. We have to assume apparently that the truma of these bits of dough is that the fact that they're able to make the keli tumi must not be daraisa. The sakadai of daraisa, because if you're going to say that the truma of them is daraisa, same problem. Then you would have a case where food has truma chamora, and that would violate Tanur Rabbi Shmuel's rule. And again, the answer is kishimish. My faith, shimish, the answer is don't think of it at this point as food. Think of it as wood. Because it's true, it is actually edible, but once you mevatel it, and once you plan to leave it in the cracks, and in order that it'll strengthen the tray, then it's considered like the wood of the tray. And therefore, it's not considered food anymore, and now that it's able to get tumah chamura from the sheret, okay, well, it's fine.
The previous thing that if you consider, you know that it's not tumah, midoraisa, because
in each of these cases, in each of these three cases that we had so far, Abaye is arguing that it can't. That apparently, when we say that it's tome, the block of sa'ur from a zav sitting on it, or the food that was offered to Avodah Zarah, or the dough that's in the cracks of the tray, Abaye is saying in each case, apparently the tumah of it must be only derabam. Because if it was a tumah daraisa, then if you're going to say that the tumah of it, that the potential tumah of it is daraisa, then it would mean you have a case where food is able to be an avatoma, and we know that food can't be an avatoma. So therefore, in each case, Rava tells him no, it's not really considered food at this point; it's considered wood. Okay. Fourth case. Amalei Rav Papa Rava, Hartanya or Ditnan. This that we learn in a Mishnah in Uktin. Chelev nevela b'kfarim, the chelev of a nevela animal. Now, the chelev does not have tumas nevela. We have a pasuk that actually excludes it from tumas nevela. We've learned that before. So, but on the other hand, it is chelev and it is from a nevela, and you're not allowed to eat it. However, b'kfarim, if you're in a village, where over here Rashi just mentions one explanation that in villages you have fewer people, since chelev is not really something that's edible so much by itself, then even the goyim don't bother eating it unless they have a specific intention to. Whereas in the big cities they have more people, so therefore there's food shortages, so a person is more likely to eat it. Earlier Rashi had mentioned another point also, which is in villages, a couple of other points Rashi had mentioned. Number one, in villages you have more animals shechted per capita, so therefore you have much more meat available per capita, and they don't need to resort to chelev, whereas in big cities they do. Another point Rashi mentioned over there is in villages they're poor, and therefore they tend not to eat chelev because it's just rich food.
In villages they have much more food than in other
not
places.
Not necessarily that much more food, but they have much more meat.
But in other ways
they're poor. You can be rich in meat, poor in other things, right? Especially nowadays, sure, you have a freezer full of meat. But back then they didn't have freezers, right? Okay. Yeah. So chelev nevela b'kfarim, so the chelev of a nevela animal in a village where it's not usual to eat it. So it requires, in order for it to be able to be makabel tumah, again, tumas nevela it doesn't have. The only tumah it could potentially have is tumas olsen. So for it to be able to become tumah, you need machshava, you need to have in mind that somebody is going to eat it, the hechsher, and then you need to be machshir with one of the seven liquids, as usual. So again, Rav Papa says, apparently, tumasa agav kulya lav daraisa. Let's say we're talking about among the types of chelev we've learned before is the chelev that surrounds the kidneys. We've learned before the fat that surrounds the kidneys is chelev that's also to eat. And that's among the chelev that we're saying over here that doesn't have too much nevelas. So apparently, tumasa agav kulya lav daraisa. Apparently, the fact that it's able to become tumah along with the kidney that it surrounds, namely that it's the shomer of the kidney. And we learned the other day that actually the kidney, it's not even the kidney is entirely encased inside it. We said that you even have, there are blood vessels and there are tubes and whatever that stick out of the kidney that pass through the fat. So therefore, apparently the tumor of this fat must not be daraisa. The sakadayduk daraisa, because again, the Republic says, if you were going to argue that it is daraisa, same problem. Then again, you would have a case where food has where food is an avatoma,
and we know that
food can't be an avatoma. So again, but if it's gonna have tumah chamura, it doesn't require hechsher. Here you're telling me it needs hechsher, so obviously it doesn't have tumah chamura. So, but as far as tumah osen, it's considered a food. So obviously the fact that it's considered a food must only be dirabanan, he says. And the answer is again, midaraisa, it wouldn't be considered food. It would be considered something inedible. So therefore, and again, the answer is no. Shimish maisa eitz shimish. Again, you can use the same answer before. It's not becoming tomei as food. It's becoming tomei as a shomer. And therefore, fine. The same way, for example, as you have, let's say, for example, bones are able to become tamei along with the meat because they're a yad for it, or the same way as horns as can be a yad, or the same way as the skin can be a shomer, as we learned earlier in the parak. The same way the chelev could become tamei on the grounds of being a shomer. Not necessarily, in other words, on a daraisa level, fine, we wouldn't consider it to be food. That's why it needs machshava in order for it to become tamei. But on a daraisa level, it's not tummy, not as food per se, but as shomer for food. And that's what it is. It's a shomer around the kidney. Marshall point.
That derives all from the fact that he cannot have tuma hamura
unless if it's food. If it can't have tuma hamura, then yeah. Marshall points out that here Rashi is using a bit of a different explanation. In the three previous cases, Rashi was explaining that what we are thinking of as food actually has the status of wood in halacha.
Mm.
Here Rashi is saying a little bit differently. Here Rashi is saying that it's becoming tamei as a shomer. What's the difference? The Marshall says the difference is because the previous three things, they were originally food. They weren't originally supposed to have tumah chamura. While they had the block of sourdough, we had the food that was offered to Avodah Zarah,
right.
and we had the dough in the quacks of the tray.
Right.
All of those started out as food. They weren't destined to have tumah chamura. Then you did something to cause them to have tumah chamura. You made a block of it and into a chair, or a person offered it to Avodah Zarah, or whatever. Yeah. Whereas over here, this chelev was not yet considered food. However, you would argue that it has the tumah chamura of nevela because the kidney has the tumah of nevela. The kidney is part of the nevela. So therefore, Rashi is forced to explain over here that the difference is that we're talking about, that we're saying that it's not food in and of itself, but it is a shomer for the food. Okay. And a fifth one. Amr Rav Masna. Rav Masna says, here's another one. Harei Amru, we have a din as follows. Bayis shesikachoy bezroyim, a house that was roofed using seeds. So in other words, you have, for example, you don't use the actual seeds themselves, but let's say, for example, Rashi says you use stalks of grain.
You couldn't use that for sukkah. You use Rashi stock.
Well, right. We're not talking about as far as the dinim of sukkah. We're talking about a regular house. If a person roofed it, let's say, with stalks of grain, which have some kernels of grain in them. So now, once he's using them as a roof for his house, for the seeds, a bottle. So now, what's the relevance of that? Rashi explains two possibilities. Number one, if that house develops saras, then those stalks, including those seeds, are going to be able to have the tumah of saras of a house. Namely, that eventually if the house...
They're not considered seeds anymore.
Namely, therefore, if the house ends up having to be torn down, as it talks about in this week's parasha, where the saras comes back a couple of times, whatever, then all the parts of the house are matame. So therefore, those seeds are going to be matame to mahamura as well. They're going to have that's one explanation. Rashi says the other gersa is that if the seeds themselves were tame beforehand, then now they're tahar once you use them for a roof, because now they're not considered seeds anymore. So again, forget about saras. Rashi's second explanation is we're just talking about if these seeds before they could have become tamei, but now they can't become tamei because they're being used for a roof.
Right.
So again, says Rav Masna, tum osei lav daraisa. Apparently, the tumah that they're able to get is not on a daraisa level, because again, the e sakudai daraisa. Because if you're going to argue that they're able to become tamei daraisa, then again, you have a case where seeds are able to have tumah chamura. Namely, the stones and the beams and whatever of a house that had saras, once the house is torn down, are matame anybody who touches them or carries them. That's tumah chamura. So therefore, and you see, therefore, so if you're telling me that they're able to have that, then apparently that tumah must not be on a daraisa level. And again, the answer is no, shishimish maitha eitz shimish, because now when it's functioning as the roof of the house, it's no longer functioning as food, it's functioning as if it was wood. Therefore, it's not, you're right, it doesn't have Tumas Ochlin anymore. Now, at the point when it's able to have Tumas Ochlin, at that point it's not able to have Tumas Chamura. And at the point when it has Tumas Chamura, it's no longer Ochel. So there, because, yeah. So again, using Rava's principle for the sixth time. Okay.
We proved that principle once we discarded the Yivas Tzara, basically.
Rava first mentioned that principle to explain why it is that the Basar from the Eivah Min HaChai of the Braisa that we quoted before, why would it need Hechsher? The Braisa didn't say that it needed Hechsher, but that's where we started. Once Rava developed that principle, then we used it to explain these other five cases as well. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah of Shimon Metachel, the last thing in our Mishnah, we said, so we had the last case of our Mishnah. We have to review real quick what the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had said like this: if you have a limb, a complete limb, or a piece of flesh that's dangling off an animal, so while the animal is alive, the piece that's dangling off is able to contract Tumas Ochlin where it is, even though the rest of the animal is not recovered, Tumas is still alive. This one is, however, it requires Hechsher in order to become Tame. Number two, we said in the Mishnah, if the animal was Shechted, then Reb Meir had said that the animal becomes Mukhshel, that limb becomes Mukhshel Lekabel Tuma with the blood of the Shechita, and Reb Shimon said not, and we had six explanations of Amiroyim, why exactly Reb Meir holds what he does, and Reb Shimon holds what he does. And then the last thing in the Mishnah we said is, if the animal died without Shechita, then if we're talking about flesh that's coming off the animal, then it requires Hechsher to be Mekabel Tumah. If we're talking about a complete limb, then it has the din of Eivah Min HaChai, and it's Metame, according to Reb Meir and Reb Shimon Metame. We said in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon says it's Tar. So we have to figure out what Reb Shimon means. The question is Monapshah. Either way you look at it, why is Reb Shimon saying that this limb is Tar? If you're going to tell me, which is a discussion that we had before in the fourth paragraph, that when an animal dies, it's considered that the limb that was dangling off it is considered as if it fell off while the animal was alive. In other words, it's considered Eiv Min HaChai. L'tamei Mishum Eiv Min HaChai. Well, then this limb should be Metamei as Eiv Min HaChai. And if you're going to tell me that when the animal dies without Shechita, it's considered that the limb is not considered to be detached from it while it was alive. Well, then, Latam Mishum Eivah Min HaNevelah. Then it should be Tomei as an Eivah, as it should be Tomei as an Eivah from the Nevelah. So either way, why is Reb Shimon saying it's Tartar? The answer is Reb Shimon had Reisha. No, that's what we have to figure out. We're talking about complete Eivah. So the first answer is Reb Shimon had Reisha. Reb Shimon is referring back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We said if you have a limb or piece of flesh that is hanging off the animal, we said it's metame tumas ochlin right where it is, even while it's attached to the animal. But with tsuchen hechsher, however, it requires hechsher in order for it to be able to become tummy. So on that, we would say Reb Shimon metame. That's where we would say that Reb Shimon would say that this piece that's hanging off is tahor as long as the animal that it's attached to is alive. So let's figure out why. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechon, in my time of the Reb Shimon, why does Reb Shimon say that? Because like this, Omakro, the pasuk says, Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel, that what becomes tameh, any food that can be eaten. Now, obviously, food can be eaten. There wouldn't be a reason for the pasuk to say, asher ye'ochel. So what did that come to teach us? Oichel shata yochel la'achil la'acherim kori oichel, food that you're allowed to give to other people to eat, is considered food in halacha. Oichel she'iyata yochel la'achil la'acherim, food that you're not allowed to feed to anybody else. In this case, it's hanging off the animal, and it's also for anybody to eat because it's considered Eivah Min HaChai, even for goyim would be also. Ein kori ochel. Reb Shimon would say the pasuk is telling us that it's not considered food. And in fact, that's why he would say it's tar. In fact, we used this principle a day or two ago. We mentioned a case where you had
even if it's not food, it's Eivah Min HaChai. The Torah doesn't say Eivah Min HaChai has to be food.
Reb Shimon is saying that as Eivah Min HaChai, if it actually falls off, it's Metame, but right now it's still attached. The only question is whether it has Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Ochlin requires, Asher Ye'ochel, requires that somebody is allowed to eat it. Here, nobody is allowed to eat it, because whether it's cut off while the animal is alive, or whether it is cut off after the animal shechter, or after it dies, or what have you, either way, it's also tea.
But it's also tea, not because anything else than Eivah Min HaChai.
That's fine. The point is,
and Eivah Min HaChai doesn't require.
That's fine, but right now it's not an Eivah Min HaChai yet. Right now, it's still attached to the animal. The only case, again, the only thing, right now we're not concerned about the Tumah of Eidim and Achai of it, because of Shimon says, because the animal is still alive. The only thing we're concerned about is Tumas Oichlin. For it to have Tumas Oichlin, it would have to be something which eventually is going to be allowed to be eaten, and now it's not. It's never going to be.
The status of Eidim and Achai comes when it's detached from the animal, and the animal is alive. But dangling is not considered...
So dangling, I mean, it's still also to eat. And actually, we had a discussion back in the fourth parak when we say, suppose the animal is shechted, did we said over there, we said something about mitzvahs proish, which many Rishonim understood that meant it's only also the Rabbanim. The Rambam learns that it means also daraisa, it just doesn't say explicitly in a pasuk. But anyway, that's off the shechted. You were talking about the animal is still alive. And the limb is still partially attached. Therefore, Tumas Nevela doesn't have yet. So the only thing it could be is oichol, and Reb Shimon says it's not considered oichol since nobody's allowed to eat it.
And nobody's allowed to eat it because...
Because eventually, once the animal dies, it was shechted, or whatever happens, say, this is going to be Eidim and Achai. Or Eidim and Anabela. Whatever, okay, the point is right now it doesn't have that. Right now it's also to eat, but it doesn't yet have any tumor. Okay. So, yeah, we actually used this principle a day or two ago. We mentioned in connection with food that was offered to an Avodah Zarah that Reb Shimon would say it's not able to become. We have the case over there of the pumpkin, that half of it was worshipped and half of it was not, where we said over there that according to Reb Shimon, the half that is used as an object of worship is not able to be Mekabel Truma for the same reason, because nobody's allowed to eat, because it's also Bana. Okay. Oh,
that's
yeah. You're fine. So in the same similar vein of reading. Okay. I'm going to Reb Zera Rabasi. So Reb Zera says to Rabasi, who says that's why Reb Shimon... Who says that's the correct explanation? Dilma time that Reb Shimon Hossam. Maybe the reason why Reb Shimon would say the question is not the fact about why is that a valid explanation of Reb Shimon. The question is why do you need a pasuk for Reb Shimon's din? That's what Rashi says. Why do you need a pasuk to teach us this din? Maybe Reb Shimon holds the reason why it's not matame horla ma'ura. Since it's still attached to the living animal, and tumah doesn't apply to a living animal, mu'ura, so it's considered connected. Nothing to do with whether it's eventually going to be mutter to eat or not, or whether it's mutter to eat right now. Just the fact that it's connected to a living animal is enough to make that it's not makabel tumah. And in fact, the Tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, which we mentioned before, yichu shel te'ena shenifsha, a branch of a fig tree that got partially broken off, u'ma'ura b'klipa, but it's still attached to the parent tree by bark. Rabbi Yehuda Matahar, Rabbi Yehuda says that the fruit on that branch is still not Makabel Truma because it's still considered attached to the parent tree.
And therefore it's a fruit.
Therefore it's still attached to the ground, so it's not as yet.
The
Chumman, the Chum says depends, Im Yachol Lichias Tahar, if the branch could live, if there's enough of a connection through the bark that the branch is still able to live, Tahar, then the fruit in it is Tahar, Vim Lab Tome, and if not, then the fruit on it is Tome, because it's considered as if it's already attached.
It's biological sectioning versus physiological.
And says Reb Zera to Reb Asi, we told you my time of the Reb Yehuda. So we asked you, we Talmidim in the Yeshiva asked you, my time of the Reb Yehuda, why does Reb Yehuda say that it's Tahar regardless, even if the branch is still able to continue living from the bark it's connected to? And you, Reb Asi, told us, very simple, Harula Ma'ura Ma'ura. Since it's still connected, then it's still considered connected. So in other words, it's still connected to a live tree. Therefore, so I don't care either. I don't even care, Rabbi Yehuda says, whether it's able to live in its current state. The very fact that it's still attached means that the fruit on it is still considered attached. The Chum disagree with that. Fine. The point is, in other words, that the point is maybe Rabbi Shimon holds of the same concept. So he would say now, applying that to this dangling limb of our Mishnah or dangling flesh or whatever, it's not able to live where it is. So it's like this case of the branch that cracks, but it's still a little bit attached by bark, but is not going to be able to live from that attachment. And therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda, again, is saying the fruit on it is still considered connected to the tree. Rabbi Shimon might say the same thing with a limb. The limb is still considered connected to the animal for purposes of Tumah V'Tahara. Fine, you're not allowed to eat it, but for purposes of Tumah V'Tahara, it's still considered connected. The Chum, forget the Chum for a second, we're talking about Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, so Rabbi Shimon would say, Rabbi Shimon would say it's connected to a live animal. A live animal is not Tumah, therefore neither is the limb. So why do we need a pasuk? Why do we need this pasuk to call it Oichal Asher Ye'achol when Reb Shimon could just as well be agreeing with Reb Yehuda's principle? Amalei,
right.
So Reb Asi says you're right. In that case, Shittu Mechavetz changes the word Amalei to Ela. Rather, you're right. We have to reject the first explanation and say that it's not Reb Shimon Mekaher of the end of our Mishnah is not referring back to the first case of the Mishnah when the animal was alive, but rather let's try and Seisa. we'll say that Rav Shimon is referring to the middle case of the Mishnah, the case where the animal was shechted. Nishchata beheva, we said if the animal was shechted with this dangling limb still a little bit attached, hochshur of a demea, so the limb is mochshur along with the blood that came out of the animal, divir a meir. Rav Shimon and the loy hochshur, and Rav Shimon says that not. And we Amr Abasi, Amr Ab Yechanan, and Rav Asi says, or Rav Yechanan says, my time of Rav Shimon. So we had the six explanations of Amiroyim, why Rav Meir holds what he does and why Rav Shimon holds what he does. One of them was, we said, Rav Yechanan said. So now, Rav Yechanan did not say this over there. Rav Yechanan, this that we're going to quote now from Rav Yechanan is not one of the explanations that we had over there. Rather, sort of Asi would be telling us that Rav Yechanan says, my time is Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon say that the limb is not mukshal akabal truma from the blood that came out of the animal as a whole? Same reason. Food that you're allowed to feed to somebody else, even to a goy, is considered food. If you're not even allowed to feed it to a goy, it's not considered food. And therefore, again, if we assume that this limb is also on a daraisa level, even to bnei noach, even to goyim, then it would be it's not considered. Rav Shimon would say it's not considered. That is why he says that there is not mukshal from the blood that came out from the rest of the animal. Yeah,
that is why he says
that would say that exactly. So the Rav Shimon Matahu at the end of our Mishnah would be clarifying why am I saying that that limb is not mukshal the kabal tumah? It's not just that I say that the blood that came out during shchita is not mukshal, but later on it could be mukshal from something else. No, it's not. Can't be moksha, period, because it's not considered food.
Even if the blood fell on it.
Well, exactly.
Even if the blood fell on it. Because it doesn't have the status of food.
Because it doesn't have the status of food, exactly right. Okay. The problem with that is, the Dilma time of Rav Shimon Bahi, Ikeda Rava, Ikeda Yechanan, who says that is the case that Rav Yechanan was explaining that to Rav Shimon's reason? You're quoting Rav Yechanan and referring what he's saying for that case, but maybe in fact, Rav Shimon's reason in that Mishnah is either like Rabbah had said over there, or like Rabbi Yechanan had said. We had over there six explanations of Amiroyim, and the first two chronologically are Rabbah's explanation that it was a question of whether the animal as a whole can be a yad for this limb, and therefore the blood that falls on the animal as a whole, is it matches that limb as well or not? And Rabbi Yochanan had agreed with Abaye's explanation that it has to do with if you pick up the animal by the limb, the whole animal is not going to lift up with it because it'll break off. We had four other explanations also, but those go chronologically later, and therefore Rabbi may not have known of them. But the point is that you're assuming Rabbi that Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Rabbi Shimon Mekaher of our Mishnah is because he holds that something that cannot be eaten validly la halacha is not considered food. Not necessarily. You could understand his explanation. You could understand his opinion in the Mishnah according to Rabbah's explanation or according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation.
And therefore we don't need to resort to
Rabbi Shimon having a new drasha from Mikol Ha'Ochel Asher Yom. So now we're going to go back to our initial assumption that Rav Shimon is referring to the Sefer. The last
it
case
cannot come from the
it can't be from the Reisha because not necessarily should we assume Rav Shimon holds in the Reisha that the limb is Tahor on the grounds that it can't be eaten. Maybe he holds it's Tahor because it's still attached to a living animal. In the middle part of the Mishnah, maybe he holds that it's not Mokshul Akabal Tumah. Because again, the fact that the rest of the animal got wet doesn't make the limb mukshal akabal truma, or because the fact that you can't pick up the whole animal by that limb means that it's not considered connected.
It's not a
yacht. So we're forced to say elal olam sefer. So we have to say that Rav Shimon Mekaher is in fact referring to the sefer, the last case of our Mishnah, where the animal died without shchita. Where we said again that Rav Meir would say, we said that if it was flesh that came off that was hanging off the animal while it was alive, then we said it needs hechshel or kabel truma because in and of itself it's not matame, but it does have truma sozlin potentially, so it needs hechshel. If it's a complete aver, then it's considered aver menachai. So it says Rav Meir and Rav Shimon Matar. So now we're going to say after all that Rav Shimon Matar is referring to that last case. The lav aver ela abaser. However, we will say that Rav Shimon is not referring to the aver as a whole. Our initial question was, how could Rav Shimon say that the aver is not tomei? It's either aver menachai or aver menamet. Either way, it's going to be metame. So we should say that Rav Shimon Mekaher is not referring to the case of the Eber, but rather to the first clause of that last case, namely Bosser, where you have flesh that was dangling from the animal while it was alive.
And only flesh.
Only flesh.
Not Gidim Vatamis.
Right. Okay. So therefore, so the Mishnah would go like this: Mesa habehema. So if the animal died, habosat tzarech hechsher. Reb Meir had said that this flesh that was hanging off requires hechsher in order to be able to be mekabel tuma. Reb Shimon mekaher, whereas Reb Shimon would say it's tahor. And on that, Amar Reb Yechanan, my time is Reb Shimon. So now comes Reb Yechanan and explains why would Reb Shimon hold that flesh is not able to be mekabel tuma? It's flesh, and that's the answer. Amar kromi kol oichal asher yachol, because since the pasuk says any food that can be eaten, implying oichal shaki yachol. Only food which is in a status of halacha that you're allowed to feed it to somebody else, including to a guy, is considered food. But here you can't feed it to anybody else because it's also even to a ben noyach. In kori oichal, so Rav Shimon would say it's not considered food and therefore it's not makabel tuma. So that explains it. So Rav Shimon is referring to the last case of the Mishnah, but he's not referring to both the Eber and the Basar, he's referring only to the Basar.
And that's why the question is, if Eber Achai is Metame or Nevela is Metame, doesn't apply.
Yeah, right, because being that it's only flesh, it doesn't have the din of Eber Achai or Bosser Achai as well. Right, so it doesn't have the din of Tumah. It only has, it potentially, it could have Tumah Soichlin, but Shimon says it doesn't because it's not food. Right, okay. Mishnah says,
not food, he said, because...
Because it can't be fed, even to a goat, because you're not allowed to feed it, even to a goat, because it's also even to a goat.
Because?
Because Bosser Achai. Because it's flush that fell off. Well, it's different than Eber Menachai as far as Tumah V'Tahara, but as far as the Dinim of eating, it's still the same. Yeah.
So can you say that with Gidim Menachai?
And the Gidim Menachai in town, so I don't know. Fine. Okay, so the previous Mishnah talked about flesh or limb that came off an animal while it's alive. So now let's talk about the parallel case of the person. If you have a complete limb or an individual piece of flesh that's dangling off a person, tahorim. So they're tahor because again, it's only matame as the tuma of a dead person when he actually dies. Right now he's still alive. In fact, we'll learn in Christmas in a few months that the Shema case involving that and in connection with people who needed to bring the Korban Pesach. So we'll get to it in a few months. Meta Adam, on the other hand, once the person dies and this limb or this flesh is still dangling off him, Habasar Tahar, if it's just meat, if it's just flesh that was dangling off him, then it's Tahar. It's not Metame, because we say Misa Oisin Nipple. We say, as we said earlier, we discussed earlier in the Masechta, the question of when a person or an animal dies, do we consider that whatever's dangling off him is considered as it fell off before they died? And that's, in this case, we would. Therefore, so it's Basar that comes off a live person, and Basar that comes off a live person is Tahar. Aver, if it was a complete Aver, Metame Mishum Aver Menachai, that's Metame on the grounds of Aver Menachai, which again would mean that if a piece of flesh comes off it, then it's not Metame. The Ainu Metame Mishum Aver Menames, but it's not Metame as an Aver from a dead person. Divir to Meir, and again, Rav Shimon Mekaher, again, Rav Shimon says it's Tahar, as we'll see in the Gemara. Well, we'll see. It's not the same reason, because it has nothing to do with whether you can eat it or not. You can't eat human flesh, but yeah. So that's the question. Rav Shimon Monafsha. So again, the question is, why is Rav Shimon saying that it's Tahar regardless? If you're going to tell me that when the person dies, it's considered as though the piece of flesh or the limb fell off him while he was alive, then Latami Mishram Eivim Menachai. Then it should be Matame as an Eivim Menachai.
Which this is nipple?
If you say Mitzah is a nipple. The E ain't Mitzah is a nipple. And if you say it's still considered connected as of when he died, fine, Matame Mishram Eivim Menames. Then it should be Matame as an Eivim Menames. So either way, why is Rav Shimon saying it's Tahor? So the answer is, first answer, Rav Shimon Ba'almakai. Rav Shimon is not talking about the specific case of our Mishnah. Rav Shimon is talking about a more general case. Namely, Jaka'omar Tanakama. So like this, the Tanakama of our Mishnah is saying, Ha'eva Matam Mishum Eva Menachai, Ve'ein Matam Mishum Eva Menames. The Tanakama is saying that the complete Eva that was dangling off the person while he was alive, and now he died with it still partially attached. So the Tanakama is saying this Matame as an Eva Menachai, not as an Eva Menames. Because even after death, because it's considered as if it fell off while he was alive. Misa Oisin Nifl. When he died, it's considered as though it was detached while he was alive. So now, in other words, Alma, Avraham Mes, Alma Matame. In other words, the Tanakhama is saying that in general, a complete Aver from a Mes is Matame no matter what size it is. But Amalei Reb Shimon, whereas Reb Shimon is arguing with him and saying, not necessarily about the specific case in our Mishnah, but about the premise. The Tanakhama's premise is that an Aver from a Mes is Matame no matter what the size of it. And Reb Shimon comes and says, no, Aver from a Mes is Amalei Matame. No, an Aver from a Mes is not in and of itself Matame unless it has a minimum size there. And we know that. And we know that there's this concept. We know that there's this argument. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Eliezer, Shamaiti She'Aver Min Achai Matame. Rav Eliezer says, I heard from my Rebbeim that a limb that comes off a living person is Matame. Amalei Rav Yeshua, Min Achai V'Lo Min Ames. Are you telling me only if it came off a live person? And you're telling me that if it came off a dead person, it wouldn't be Matame. But Kavu Chaymer, you should make Kavu Chaymer. Or Ma Chai Shu Tar, Ma Dach a live person who is Tar. He's not Matame other people, unless he's a Zav or what have you. Avra Perish Men or Tame. And yet, a complete limb that comes off him is Tame. Mes Shu Tame, so the complete mess is Tame. Loi Kol Shekin, how much more so that an individual limb that comes off it should be Matame. In fact, if you're going to tell me, and you're going to tell me, the reason why you're going to say that only the one from the living person is Matame because that's how you heard from your Rebbeim. What proof is that just because you heard from your Rebbeim that way? Think of it this way, says Reb Shimon, says Reb Yeshua. Plus of the Megillas Tainus, it says in Megillas Tainus, which is a list of days that you're not allowed to fast, and some of them you're not allowed to make a hesed. Pischa Zeira below the Mispar, it says over there that on Pesach, the small Pesach, meaning Pesach Sheni, you're not allowed to make a hesed. What are you going to infer from that? Well, nowadays the halacha is Bottle Megillas Tainus. Most of the dates that I mentioned, Megillas Tainus, except Hanukkah and Purim, the restrictions of Megillas Tainus no longer apply to them. You're allowed to fast on them. You're allowed to make a seder on them. So anyway, but when it was effective, what are you going to tell me? Only Pesach Sheni, you're not allowed to make a spade in Harabla Misbud. What are you going to infer from that? That on the big Pesach, on the main Pesach, you're allowed to make a hesped. Ella called the cane. Obviously, Megillas Tainus is telling us you can't make a hesped on Pesach Sheni, and you're meant to understand, Kolshikin, that you can't do it on the main Pesach. So, the same way, Hochanami called the cane. The same way, Yerubayim said the expression, Eivman Achai Matame. They didn't mean an Eivman Ames is not Matame. They meant an Eivim and Achai is Matame, and how much more so an Eivim and Ames? Amalei Kach Shamaiti. That's Rabbi Yeshua is arguing with Rabbi Yeshua. No, forget Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the next generation. We're mentioning this because we can say that Rabbi Shimon is following one of these opinions. But wait, the point is, Amalei, so Rabbi Eliezer answers, no, Kach Shamaiti, this is what I heard from my Rebbeim. I'm not inferring anything like you said. They explicitly said that an Avim and Achai is Matame, and Avim and Ames is not Matame.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing, so therefore, your Kavachomer is invalid, because they explicitly said that it doesn't work that way. So therefore, Reb Shimon can hold like Reb Eliezer. So Reb Shimon can hold... Reb Shimon is the next generation, but they're all Tanayim. But the point is, Reb Shimon can hold like Reb Eliezer. So Reb Eliezer is saying that a limb from a mess is not Matame unless it has a certain amount of flesh or whatever on it, or unless it has a certain size bone in it or whatever. And Reb Shimon would agree with that. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is using as a premise that an Avim and a mess is Matame, and therefore he's saying that if this limb... So he's saying that in this specific case of our Mishnah, where you had a person had a limb dangling from him while he was alive, and then he died, then the limb is Matame as Avim and Achai, and not as Avim and Ames, implying had it been a different case, had it been fully attached to him, and then it was detached after he died, then it would be considered an Avim and Ames, and it would be Matame. And Rav Shimon says that, disagree with that premise, because I hold like Rabbi Yezid. Okay.
So there's no connection to one another,
right,
basically.
Right. Okay. Fine. So the question is, my Ikaben Avim and Achai la Avim and Ames? Okay, so back to our Mishnah, according to the mayor, who does hold that and Rabbi Yeshua, who hold that an Avim and Achai and an Avim and Ames are both Matame, so what's the practical difference between them?
Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua?
No, between the Chachamim, or for Rabbi Yeshua, what is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, what is the difference between Avim and Achai and Avim and Ames? The answer is Kazayas Bosser, the Esim Kisaura, Purish Ma'Avim and Achai, Ishbenaihu. The argument between them would be, suppose you have a complete Aver that came off a living person, and then later on a kezias of flesh or a bone the size of a grain of barley came off of this Aver Menachai. are they metame? So the time we learn in a Mishnah in 80th, like kezayis basa akodesh me'evim menachai, a kezayis of flesh that comes off an evim menachai, Rabbi Eliezer metame. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's tame. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that in general an evim menachai is metame, not an evim menameth. So he says, in this case, you have a kezayis of flesh that came off that aver. Rabbi Eliezer says, not only the whole aver is metame, but boster menachai. Well, it's boster from an aver menachai, right?
Yeah.
Right. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it's metame. Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana and Rabbi Yeshua metame. Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana and Rabbi Yeshua are going to say that it's tahor. So that's the difference, therefore. So if you have an Eivim and Achayim later on, Kazayis Boser comes off it, then you're going to have this Machlokas Tanoim, whether that Kazayis Boser is Metami. Whereas had it been an Eivim and Ames, according to the mayor of our Mishnah, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, of course, any piece of it the size of a Kazayis is Metami.
In that case,
the Boser HaKodesh Me'Eivim and Achayim. So we have Rabbi Eliezer on the one side, and Rabbi Chonim Menachon, and the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. And the Mishnah continues, Esem Kisa'oda Podesh Me'ez Menachai. Also, if you have a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley or more that comes off of an Eiv Menachai, then the opinions change a little bit. Rav Nachunya Matame, Rav Nachunya, who before said that it's Tahar in the case of the Kazayis Boser, he now says that it'll be Tame. Rav Eliezer, Rav Yeshua Matame. Rav Eliezer is going to join now with Rav Yeshua in saying it's Tahar. In other words, so we have now Rav Nachunya ben Akana and Rav Eliezer are sort of switching positions between Kazayis versus Essen, whereas Rav Yeshua is saying both of them are Tahar. And Rashi brings from the continuation of the Mishnah over there that Rav Yeshua is telling them be consistent. Why are you saying one of them is Tomei and one of them is Tahar? And Rav Eliezer says because you see that Boser has a greater capability for tumah because it applies to a nevela and applies to a sheret, whereas Essem doesn't. And on the other hand, Rav Nachunya ben Akana takes the view that bones have a greater capacity for tumah because boser apodesh men achai tahar, whereas a complete aver is tamei. And Rabbi Yeshua says both of them are tahar because he says that a mess has many other chumras to it. A quarter cow of bones is matame from it. A rock of is matame, etc. Whereas a living person, you don't have all those concepts. So the Mishnah goes on to explain over there why each of them holds the way he does. But anyway, the point is that as far as the Kazayis Boser versus Essen Kisa'ira, Rabbi Yeshua holds from an Eivim Menachai. Rabbi Yeshua holds both of them are Tahar. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Boser is Tomei and the Essen is Tahar. And Rabbi Nachunya says the other way around. Okay, so the point is, so that's the nafkamina between Eivim and Achai and Bosom, between Eivim and Achai and Eivim and Ames, because if you have a Kazayis Boser or an Essen Kisa'ira comes off an Eivim and Ames, no question that it's Metame. Even Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree to that. But if you have an Eivim and Achai, then you have when pieces come off of it afterwards, that's when you have this Machlokes. Okay, so the Gemara says hashta de osis la'achi. Okay, now that you pointed out that point, now that you pointed out that there's that difference about these cases where pieces come off from an Eivim and Achai, then we don't need to explain, like we said before, that Reb Shimon when Reb Shimon Mataher, we said, is not referring directly to the case of our Mishnah, but rather he's arguing with Reb Meir's premise that an Eivim and Ames is Matame. Now we don't have to say that anymore. Ben Tanakamel Reb Shimon Nami, because I suppose that Essen Kisa'ira Ikebinai. You can explain our Mishnah the same way, that we're talking about a case where we're saying that Eivim is Tame of Eivim and Achai. We're going to say Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Yeshua, after all, that an Eivim and Achai is Matame, not like Reb Eliezer who says that not. But Reb Shimon is going to say, if later on a bone or a piece of flesh comes off it, now he does hold like Rabbi Yeshua of the second thing that we quoted of the Mishnah in Adias, and he's going to say it's not Metame. Whereas the Tanakama, Reb Meir would hold, the Tanakama would hold like either Rabbi Eliezer or Reb Nachunya ben Akana, that one or the other of them is going to be Metame, and therefore that's why he's saying that's Metame as Eivim and Achai. In other words, that if a piece comes off it, that piece can still be Metame. Whereas Reb Shimon is going to be saying, like Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah in Adias, that it's not Metame at all. Only a complete Eivim and Achai is Metame, not like Rabbi Eliezer of the first Braisa that we quoted. But rather, he's going to hold like Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah in Adias that we quoted. that an etzem or kezayis, that the kezayis baser that comes off of an evim and a chai is not metame. Okay, pattern halacha over, right?